Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to a very dark place. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. Sometimes you just have to because, listen, the authorities are no longer going after the big folks, not unless we get some type of a real great reset that says our laws matter to everybody and it's no longer just a matter of a Ponzi scheme and a straight giveaway to criminals. When and if we do that, we'll be okay. But until then, these types of things are not covered, so we must get them out. So this is going to be related to Jeffrey Epstein, but a different situation. One thing, what I try to do here is remind you of really good evidence. And I don't have this in front of me, but I've covered it in other podcasts. I think here on the Scales of Truth, I don't think it was over on Chemology 411. But the idea that as you look into the background of Jeffrey Epstein, after it's finally okay to talk about him, because remember when the canary in the coal mine, Alex Jones, talked about him, it's not okay to talk about him. But eventually it comes out and then it's everybody gets their little permission to speak of his criminality. Then it's okay. But then remember, they don't get permission to be suspicious about his the death in his cell. Nope. You don't have permission for that yet. But recall that when people were talking about Jeffrey Epstein, hedge fund manager, everybody knows he wasn't a hedge fund manager. And what I say about that is we know that he was running a blackmail operation out of his mansions and other properties. We have literal evidence or at least testimony, I believe it's evidence, that in one of his houses, the whole basement was full of computers and it was connected to camera equipment and everything else. This was trying to bring powerful people or would be, could be powerful people, people who had the unquenchable desire to be a politician into the fold of being blackmailable. Now, they had to show the character flaws to begin with. Or rather, they had to act upon them. You know, maybe he didn't know. I mean, best thing to do is invite them and see who took the bait. See who took the bait of young girls or the like, right? See who took the bait of some kind of depraved behavior, right? So we have that, the talking about what how one of his compounds was built and that it had cameras all over the place. And the whole basement was basically a computing operation, or much of it. And we also have, remember, oh, he's a billionaire from the hedge funds, or whatever it was. And if it was hedge funds, you can go find, you can look this up. There are, and I've discussed it in one of my podcasts, other hedge fund manager saying openly, I never saw him. He didn't run in any circles that I was aware of. As a hedge fund manager, that's just, and so what does that mean? He wasn't one, okay, except as a token. I mean, other hedge fund managers didn't work with him, didn't do business with him, didn't, he wasn't in their circles where they showed up or discussed things. It's a cover story. Jeffrey Epstein was simply his main, whether or not he was that rich or not, who knows, but that was his cover. But his main reason for being was to create blackmail situations so that people could be owned. And some of them could be that they were already in office. And some of them, they could see from afar, we are going to be able to get this guy. He cannot satiate his desires or control them in any way, shape, or form. Joe Biden. I mean, I don't know that Joe Biden went there, but that's your perfect example. Some people you can see from, you know, 20 miles away are going to do something wrong if you just have a camera nearby. If you provide the temptation and the event, the party, the, you know, whatever type of, hey, just come over. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's have some fun. You know these people are going to go for it. And then you have your blackmailable politician. Let's say Bill Clinton more specifically. And maybe others, don't get me wrong. I mean, maybe Donald Trump. He was supposedly on the planes too. But it doesn't mean everybody on the plane was caught for blackmail, but some decent percentage were. So that's out there. And now we have another one. Let me see if I can find this. See if we can look at this at the same time. It's very interesting. This is a tweet about another billionaire killed for blowing the whistle. The CIA is running a sex trafficking entrapment operation on Puerto Rico and the Caribbean islands. So a crypto billionaire was killed for posting this information. So if I go here, I don't think it'll start the video. It shows the tweet itself. Let me try to find this. Give me just a moment. I'm not seeing the tweet at the moment, but I did see it. All right, I'm going to pause for just a second while I find that tweet again and start back up again so I can read it to you and then find out what happened to the fellow who realized there was an entrapment operation. Okay, yeah, I found it. You know how it is trying to find these things. You're poking around. So this allegedly came from a crypto billionaire's, I can't tell if it's a tweet or what, CIA and Mossad and pedo elite are running some kind of sex trafficking entrapment blackmail ring out of Puerto Rico and the Caribbean islands. They're going to frame me with a laptop planted by my ex-girlfriend who was a spy. They will torture me to death. All right, then after that, we have a little headline because you're not going to believe what happened next. And yes, that was a tweet, actually. I just couldn't tell from the format, but it was in kind of dark, dark theme. So it wasn't so obviously from Twitter, but it was a tweet, and it was October 26, 2022. Actually, I misread that. It's 28 October 2022. All right, so then we have an 11/9/2022 article. Can't tell the exact source here. The author is a Dana Kennedy. Drowning death of crypto visionary Nikolai Mushigian fuels conspiracy theories. So, you know, that's interesting, right? Like, here we have our Jeffrey Epstein deal. I'm telling you, the spy agencies, if you look into the history of it, it wasn't 3 years later where I believe it was Truman saying, wow, they've outgrown their britches. That's not what we meant them for them to be doing. And before you knew it, they were toppling regimes and doing many other things because you gave an agency this mission that started with just secrecy and lying. It's like, oh, no, it's just secrecy. They won't lie. Well, they're lying, and that's their main purpose for being, is disinformation. You can't topple a regime by allowing the regime to get out its information. And not far from there, these same type of agencies, and I will say Mossad because some of them believe that, everybody knows Mossad is, wow, they are scary, right? Just like the CIA is scary, just like the KGB is scary. I'm not being particularly emphasizing them, but they're one, right? And now think of the fact that Israel always considers itself as being in an existential threat. I mean, emergency is their way of life. Think of 2020 through 2022. And how emergency just brought insanity among leaders. Well, in Israel's case, they're a lot closer to a real emergency than we ever were with COVID. But think of everything we've done under the auspices of emergency. Now, you add, let alone existential threat. Now, you add to that this idea of the lying agencies. That's what I call them. They're the lying agencies with a capital L. The lying agencies, TLA, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI in some regards, and any number of other related agencies. But Those are the two big ones, right? The NSA, CIA. And unfortunately, you know, like the defense has its defense intelligence agency. I don't know if they're more on the up and up, but an intelligence agency, they've long ago went to offense and not just defense. And that's a problem. They're being paid. They use black money. It's supposedly not our, they're being paid to lie. They use black money. They start up companies. They seed certain companies. Well, whose back pocket do you think the founders of those companies are? These same agencies, whether it is, for instance, the FBI, I think probably sometimes did this. I'm trying to think through it. But certainly the CIA reached out to certain prominent people and said, are you a patriot? Can you help us on the lowdown when we need you to? Think of Operation Paperclip, where they recruited journalists. No, you're not on our payroll particularly, but on the other hand, you'll help us when we need it, right? I mean, you're a patriot. You understand these things get tricky. We have a hard war to fight. And it becomes a way of life to give disinformation and do sock puppets. Remember, a sock puppet's just like, it looks like it's somebody's Aunt Evelyn. It's not. It's somebody on a keyboard trying to make it seem as though sentiment is coming from the grassroots so that you're not as irritated by it as you would be if just the Defense Intelligence Agency was trying to feed you a load of crap right out in the open. You try to seed fake sentiment. Whether it's by, oh, you'll cooperate with me, right? John Wayne, I'm not saying, but it's that type. I don't recall the history of any particular celebrities, but famous celebrities, many of them throughout the years have been at least solicited by, whether it's the CIA or NSA, to see if they could, hey, you're a patriot, you'll help us out, right? And so here we are. And then it gets worse. I mean, I believe that I think it's the Overstock.com CEO has a story about this where he was solicited, and former Overstock CEO and or owner, I can't remember which, said, yeah, I mean, the government approached me and said, if you just cooperate with us, we'll make you a billionaire. We've done it before. So think about how much, whether it's expressly or behind the scenes, and even just like really favoritism with potential contracts, that you can make a company owned, directed by a CEO or again, the owner who is cooperating with you, very, very, suddenly make their company very, very lucrative. You give them special favors behind the scenes. You give them special technology that would otherwise be just the government's, and they get to call it proprietary. You give them government contracts. They always have a leg up on that. You do what you can to squash any of their competitors that happen to come up organically. This type of thing. And so that's what they do. And then also they go find very, I wonder what it's what happened to Bill Gates, honestly. Many, many years ago, part of the government was on him for being threatening with a monopoly. And he was never, this was at the time Ted Turner, quote, gave away $1 billion to the UN. A crock, but that's exactly what, there you go, another billionaire that gets, first of all, it didn't come up to $1 billion, I don't think, in the end, but it was potentially the full pledge, that type of thing. Well, it behooves those people, the lying agencies, to get the billionaires on their side. And unfortunately, once that's the case, then you can't trust the billionaires. And not that you ever necessarily should have. I mean, is that not almost a sign almost a sign of personality disorder to have to accumulate that much wealth. I am not an anti-free market person or an anti-wealth person, but there is something probably to the psychology where someone who amasses billions is a little bit different in some kind of greed or pride factor than a lot of other people. Now, it is truly just sometimes because they did have a revolutionary idea, and that got them mostly of the way to their hundreds of millions or billions. But at this point, free market's not free market, and at the top end, success is not just based on your products. You get, there's so much propaganda and government funds involved to even start to get to, I'm sorry, that can subsidize the exceptional success of these people. And so the government is so much in, I believe, in most, I shouldn't say most, I don't mean most countries, I don't mean most very, very rich people, but they're trying to get them into the fold, right? World Economic Forum, the lying agencies, and so on. They're trying to get them into the fold. And so one way to get them into the fold is if they just wanted to be a libertarian type billionaire. Okay, well, looks like you're a libertarian type billionaire with a sex problem. And guess what? That was, oh man, what was the old word for a very young mistress? Very easy word. I just can't think of it right now. So, Lolita. Yeah. You have a Lolita problem. Uh-oh. All right. Well, just so you know, we're aware that you have the Lolita problem, Senator. And we don't have to release it. But we're aware you have a Lolita problem. And we have the documentation. So, you feel like playing ball? And literally, the ball could just be to be a place candidate, a Manchurian candidate, if you will, but instead of Manchurian, just a placed lying agency candidate. And that's by, it could be literally a Manchurian candidate. If it's a Mossad that does the blackmail, then there's your Manchurian candidate. You continue to fund him. After all, every single president, this is insane to me. Every single presidential candidate, I believe, anytime recently, but maybe it's not every single one, because I don't know if Biden went over there, went during the campaign to make sure to Israel so that Israel understood that he or she was loyal to Israel for a U.S. president. So that's the type of power that tiny country does try to exercise over here in the Western Hemisphere, and largely successfully so. And so with that, all that context, it does make sense that Nikolai Mashigian, who ended up on a beach, quote, drowned less than a couple weeks later, may have been onto something. And after all, billionaires who are down here, it says brilliant young cryptocurrency pioneer Nikolai Mashigian. And this says he was found on the beach hours later. So I don't know why the Dana Kennedy article is stated November 9th. So it makes sense that, first of all, he's a billionaire. You don't become a brilliant crypto pioneer without being somewhat smart and probably not being off your rocker. And instead, probably you're fairly on the ball. So if he says that's what's happening, then he ends up dead. That's some pretty good circumstantial evidence, right? So just quite interesting, an interesting little point. And I'm telling you, if we ever want our world back truly, every country, I know this is a pipe dream, and so it's, of course, how far along the continuum you get. Every country should get rid of their lying agencies. There has to be more transparency, and it must become absolutely criminal. And I mean treason worthy, but certainly, and even death penalty worthy. That's what I mean by treason worthy. But certainly major felony worthy to find out that you used any taxpayer money to create a straight deception. And underneath that, honestly, the black money has to go. I understand, and there is a point, there's absolutely a point, I've discussed this at other times, that there has to be secrecy. But the secrecy has to be to troop movement, agent movement. We do need agents, because not all countries are bad actors, and every are good actors, and every country has their rival, their enemy. And so you do need to keep tabs on people. The secrecy is the mission, the true name, and other identifying information, location, and the like of agents. Secrecy cannot be that we stole a patent and hired some people who had to take NDAs to use taxpayer money or taxpayer state created debt due to the massive deficit, that money, to further that technology and develop it to its final end, and then use it secretively. Anything that's developed with taxpayer money should be either open source, or in the case of military, we should at least know the general idea of it. No more, if we ever wanted our country truly back, could we have to guess that secret spacecraft might be 2 to 3 generations ahead and not know. In reality, there's some amount of secrecy, definitely, and obviously you have to have, but you must admit the basics of it. Like, this is not... And then the other people can guess at it. But guess what? It's still treason to give away that data specifically. So if you have a fleet of anti-gravitic jet aircraft, we should know that you have anti-gravitic technology. Anything less than that, and honestly, you're starting to dive towards a breakaway civilization instead of the technology helping the people who paid for it. And speaking of when you go so far away from that, when your control, when your lies, when your secrets are too important, I actually haven't checked on this. So if I look it up and find it to not be true, I will go ahead and come back and comment on this in a future podcast and add it here. But at least the claim is that the World Cup is showing in China. And China is so into their lies, their emperor has no clothes, that they are saying that you are not allowed to get the comparative reality of the different approaches by other countries across the globe. That seeing that other people are not wearing masks anymore would give you. You do not get to compare that reality. Not officially, you don't. If you're going to bring in some, can you imagine being in China and the conspiracy theory is that in actuality at the World Cup, people are not wearing masks? That said, maybe it's just a symbolic, it's not a well done mask. It's just like, you know, it's just a token, a symbolic mask. Anybody can see that it's fake. And the Chinese people know you better not say anything about them not wearing masks. As you can see, they're wearing masks. Or the idea, remember, like this, we have some idiot locally who is, I've talked about the emergency management situation and how those were just puppets waiting to be, had their hands stuck up their asses. And ready to follow orders, because after all, we did the drills and it seems so real. So we're just ready to follow the orders step by step and not you do any thinking. So it could be that, like over here during the middle of COVID, if you were on TV, nowhere near each other, you had to, I don't know, show support towards masking by yourself on a TV. So maybe it's low enough quality that all the Chinese realize that's the concept. It's like, you know the drill. You know the drill. These performers are masked because that's what you must do. You must mask. And you cannot even think about faces without masks currently. Because if you start thinking about it, then you'll think about doing it. And you're not going to do it. You got us? We are not even going to show free countries where masks are not allowed. And it's either that they do look authentic, which is one level of insanity, and or it's that they don't even look very good. It's very obvious they're not wearing masks. It doesn't track well. And that's just an equal level but different type of insanity. That's where you go when you get closer and closer to regimes that believe in lies and control and one opinion. You draw the tyrants once you start building that. We have one in the presidency. He just took a big bill, I can't remember which one it was, and said, yeah, we're going to tweak that. And just so he's rewriting the bill just based on, he's rewriting it. It's a, I can't remember, hundreds of billions of dollars. It's one of the main bills. And he says, yeah, that needed tweaking. So again, we have a tyrant taking the place of the Congress, and the Congress being too weak to even try to do anything, to even step together for the sake of the principles of what the Congress is supposed to mean in the United States. So that's what you get when you start having lying agencies that then lead to lying societies. Once you, and this is the thing, freedom of speech is only ever as good as it is prominently championed in society. As soon as it is no longer prominently championed, at least in our society, where we have to wait for a court to get a case, instead of someone being able to say, no, you can't do that. You just can't. We don't have to wait for anything. That's obviously and clearly illegal. You can't do that. Since we don't have that, and we have to wait for cases to work their way up, and Supreme Court gives deference to previous opinions and gives deference for the executive branch, if there's any rational basis, and these types of judicial review standards, then if the society is no longer generally supporting the sentiment of free speech, and you don't have it. And once you don't have it, generally, then you get to bully, which is the correct approach, which we had since 2020. And then before you know it, you're watching broadcast where nations are joining together for a celebration of a sports event, and your broadcast does not allow you to see what their actual approach to their own society is. Anything that might hint at that? Nope. Of course they wear masks. Why wouldn't they wear masks? But they don't wear masks. You're insane. Are you going to tell us, or are you going to continue to try to tell us we're insane? Because you better wear a mask while you're doing it. Yeah. Yeah. So I have not looked into this greatly. I mean, he apparently was found on a beach dead, and he was not old. And he'd said that he was going to be killed. And he said why. So I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying that you have to hold on to these points and start putting them in your memory, putting them into your thought process so that you can piece them together with other points. And I'm not saying convince yourself, but these are the types of things. I'm not saying to just convince yourself of something. But these are the types of things that, because they will not be emphasized, you must capture these moments, these events in time, so that at a later point, you can have the intuition that's based on recognizing previous events that were de-emphasized. You can see patterns quicker. Or maybe because you paid attention to this, you're more likely to be attracted, or what I mean by attracted, I don't mean that in a cosmic way, although there is that potentially, that you detect follow-up stories and you gather more information related to it. Yeah, it's crazy. And again, I'm not saying it's true, but it's certainly a discussion worth having. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. I do appreciate your listeners, and please like the episode and follow the podcast, and we will chat with you on the other side. Again, you can email me, the email that is at the description there on most of the shows, and at the podcast description.